Amen. Lord bless you as you're being seated. It's not uncommon for men and women to look back on their formative years and point to several things in their life that they can say right there that affected them their whole life. We all have those situations. It's in those formative years that can prove to be the most difficult times of life. Not in the sense of hardship and struggle, though that may be applicable to some individuals. However, the difficulty comes in the form of understanding your identity and recognizing your purpose. I've often said that some of the most challenging years for a person is between the ages of 12 and 14 years old, because their body's changing, their minds are changing, their hormones are changing, their world, if I could use that word, is totally being transformed. And they're trying to navigate a world where they're pilgrims, if you please, walking through that land. And as they go to the latter part of their teenage years, they transition from a world of dependence to a world of independence. And it's in those years that they will develop something called self-esteem. The pressure from society to produce and to perform is greater today than it's ever been before, because everybody is trying to be a somebody. The desire to be identified, recognized, and idolized is at an all-time high. And the gauge by which we measure our self-worth is flawed by worldly standards. Hear me today. Low self-esteem has hindered more people than the devil ever has. The devil has already been defeated. That's what Calvary was for. That's why Jesus went in 3 days and got the keys from death, hell, and the grave. And he conquered. He said, I have overcome the world. The devil has already been conquered. You don't have to conquer the devil. His destiny is decided. But what's hindering people in the kingdom of God today is their low self-esteem and not recognizing who they are in God. Low self-esteem is a thinking disorder in which an individual views him or herself as inadequate, unlovable, and or incompetent. Once formed, this negative view permeates every thought, producing faulty assumptions and ongoing self-defeating behavior. Self-esteem defines who you are in your mind. It's a mind thing. It establishes invisible boundaries that rarely does a person cross. Many people feel like they're living in a land of isolation and obscurity. Nobody knows who I am. Out of all the billions of people in the world, there ain't no way, there's no way anybody knows. How can I ever be anyone, seeing as how I come from just a small community? How can I ever do anything big for God? And nobody's going to know who I am. How can I establish myself as anything of value? And there's people that feel limited by their lack of knowledge. They feel limited by their lack of pedigree. They feel limited by their lack of name recognition. Everything inside of an individual desires to be effective, yet people feel like they're being hindered by so many variables. Hear me tonight, I'm going somewhere. Not everyone will be voted most likely to succeed. Not everyone can be labeled as the most beautiful or the most gifted or have the approval of the peers. But can I set the record straight today? Every person in God's eyes does have a purpose. Every person can be effective for the kingdom of God. Everybody can rise above the negativity of their peers and say, God, if you can use anybody, you can use me for the kingdom of God. Just because you may be unrecognized in the sight of man does not mean you're unnoticed in the eyes of God. You may never step foot on a stage. You may never hold a microphone. You may never get a spotlight. But that does not mean you cannot do anything for God. Everybody can do something for the kingdom of God. Everybody. We find within the framework of this precious book so many awe-inspiring people such as Abel and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, all of which made a notable impression and contribution to the landscape of society. And we can jump from the pages of this book, and we can walk through the corridors of your own mind, and we can hear stories of men that graced pulpits in your life, men that preached and were pulpiteers and they were orators. We could talk about prayer warriors in your life. We could talk about people that we could say everybody knows who they are, and they are all applauded and they are revered and they are honored. However, there is a misnomer that is plaguing people today. The unmentioned people are just as important as the mentioned people. Because God sees everybody. Doesn't have to have your name labeled on a marquee. You used to drive me to death, drive me crazy when I'd pull up to a church and I'd see my name on a marquee. I hated it. Most of the time, it was never spelled right. But secondly, nobody's going to know who I am. If you think about it, only Pentecostals are going to know if I'm anybody. Joe Blow driving down the road, Tyler Stevenson don't mean nothing to him. Only other Pentecostals will know that name. Thank you, Brother Dakota. That's right. Because it's not about my name. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's about reaching people. If you see a sign out there, it's going to say revival. Revival. I'm not taking anything away from the pulpit ministry. Bible says that it's the foolishness of preaching whereby men are saved. We got to have a preacher. We got to have a pulpit. But just because you never walk behind a pulpit doesn't mean you cannot do something for the kingdom of God. You can do something. There's people scattered throughout the pages of Scripture. Everywhere you look, you can hardly read a chapter without seeing somebody's name. There's always a name. What's intriguing about the text that we read tonight is that they had no name, no origin. We don't know their skills. We don't know their family. But without them, we wouldn't be reading about the miracles. They were unmentioned, but they weren't unnoticed. Shared within these three scriptures are principles that I want to bring to you just for the next few moments, that I think if we can grasp them, that it will help us in our walk with God. The first thing that you have to have as a child of God is you have to have a willingness to just be there. Over 5,000 people, the Bible says, were hungry. And Jesus knew what he was going to do. The Bible says he already knew what he was going to do. He was testing his disciples. And verse 9 says, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? a lad, a boy, unmentioned, but not unnoticed. You know what made him so special? He was there. He was there. There's something to be said for somebody that's just going to show up just to be there. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to be there. I don't care if it's prayer meeting or an all-night prayer meeting. I'm going to be there. Men's work day, we got a bunch of men that said, I'm going to be there. Ladies work day, I'm going to be there. There's something to be said for just being here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I would rather have somebody with less talent but more dependability than somebody with more talent and less dependability. I like those people that just show up. Me and my brothers, we showed up for everything. My mom would drop us off at the church, say, y'all just go find y'all something to do. We just always taught, you just go work around the house of the Lord. Just looking back, now I'm thankful because she instilled something inside of me. When nobody's there, you be there. When everybody's there, you still be there. There's something to be said for people who are dependable in spite of what happens in their life. You know, we've talked about it before. Selfishness is a prevailing trait today. People want to show up when they're being seen. But let's talk about showing up when you're not being seen. There's a mindset that says you got to be the best to be used. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that mindset. Now, I'm thankful we've got talent. I really am. I know if people sang like I do, it wouldn't be as moving in a service. It wouldn't be as enjoyable. I'd love the daylights out of it, but I don't think anybody else would. Let me tell you what the anointing does. The anointing makes up for what man can't do. You know, there's a story in the Bible when Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go get that colt. You know the story? You know, a colt is an untrained animal. And Jesus rode that colt. He chose that which had less talent, less training. But when the anointing sat on it, it accomplished its purpose. You don't have to be the best to be effective for the kingdom of God. Because when the anointing sits upon you, God will use you anyhow in spite of all of your shortcomings. God's not saying you got to be the best. He's saying, I just want to know if you'll show up to be used. When nobody sees you, still show up. That's what we got to have. Then there's got to be a willingness. When you show up, there's got to be a willingness to do anything that needs to be done. John chapter 2, they're out of wine. And here Jesus, or Mary tells Jesus, we're out of wine. He said, my hour's not yet come. It's not time for me to step into my ministry yet. She looked at the servants and said, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. No recognition, no pedigree, no talent. But they were willing to do whatever Jesus told them to do. And we have a miracle that we read about because they didn't sit there and say, well, this don't make no sense to me. I didn't think he was going to run tonight. That's all right. That's fine. There's some people that only want to do it if it's their way. But you know the problem with that? Is when you have as many people that attend this congregation, it would be mass chaos if everybody did it the way they wanted to do it. And there's some people that say, well, I just don't think that's the best way to do it. That's fine. One guy said you can have your say, but you can't have your way. Everybody can say what they want to say. That's all right. I never said my way was the best way. Because I'm human just like everybody else. Oh, Lord. Everybody smile just a minute. I'm not saying it's happened here because it honestly has not happened here. But I have met people that got so bent out of shape because something wasn't done the way they wanted it done. And they missed the whole point of the kingdom of God. We've only got one person we're trying to please, and that's the Lord. We're not trying to please each other. We're trying to do everything to further the gospel and the kingdom of God. And so there has to be a mindset that says, whatever needs to be done, I'm just going to put my hand to the plow. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all of thy might. If it's taking out trash, I want to take it out to the best of my ability. If it's mopping the floor, I was so godly proud at the We Love Our Community last week. On Wednesday and Thursday, we had a whole bunch of people. And you know what? I sat in wonder and amazement. I felt useless. Because every time I went to do something, it was already being done. So I just did what I said. Walk fast and look serious and nobody will mess with you. Everything was just like clockwork. And my wife and I, we left and we said, one thing about these precious people is that they know how to work for the kingdom of God. I commend you, and you ought to give yourself a hand, because that's a willingness in your heart that says, hey, even if it's sweeping the floor, we're going to do it for the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about, being a part of the miracle. Let me tell you, there are some miracles that happen instantaneous, and everybody sees them. But there's some miracles that so many people play a part in bringing the miracle to pass. Only God sees how many people had a hand in the miracle. One toils up the soil. One plants a seed. One waters. But what's the scripture say? God gives the increase. God uses everybody's personality. God uses everybody's giftings. God uses even the smallest of things that you think, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. You can do something. And God uses all of it. God uses all of it to make an impact. David was not necessarily the most skilled warrior, and I said it Sunday, but he was the only one willing to step out and say, God, if I'm going down, I'm going down fighting. It was an availability. God looks at who is willing to be used. Who is willing to be used when nobody sees? I used to, when I was in my late teens, like I told you, my mom would drop us off at the church. We was always there working. See, God can't trust people with big things until they've proven themselves with small things. We got it backward. We want big things first. And God will never give you something that you can't handle. Because a blessing too soon is not a blessing at all. You know, driving a car is a good thing for people. But not for a 12-year-old. A good thing too soon is not a good thing. They got to prove themselves first. And I used to go up to the church when I was my late teens. I would just weep and I'd pray and I'd cry. And I'd go up there and when nobody was around, I'd get that microphone. And I'd walk around in the church And I'd walk around in the youth room and I'd pray and I'd preach. And I'd pray and I'd preach. And I'd say, Lord, I want to get so used to just flowing in the anointing and hearing that voice as I preach. And I'd go up there when nobody was around. It was years before I ever grabbed a microphone in a public setting and ever preached. But you know what? I had spent a whole lot of time when nobody was watching trying to make sure me and God had a connection. There's a lot of people that just want to show up when everybody's watching. And God's saying, hold up a minute. You want me to honor you in public, but you won't give me nothing in private. Don't work that way. A public performance is an extension of a private devotion. And God honors that. God honors that. There is no job or task too small in the kingdom of God. No job. No task. While I'm at it, let me applaud. And I know this church is going to join me. Because we've got two precious people here. And I'm not trying to embarrass them. But 9 times out of 10, Brother Don and Sister Jane are here at least 2 to 2.5 hours early. And they're always the last ones to leave. Brother Don and Sister Jane, I want you to know this church honors you and they love you for your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. But thirdly, there has to be a willingness to stand out in society. In Mark 14, Jesus tells his disciples, go into the city and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. On the surface, it seems so simple. Well, we just go find a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. However, if you dig out, you'll find that there's much more to the verse than what meets the eye. Because in that day, only women carried water. Only the women would put the water pot on their head, normally on their head or on their shoulder. And they would always be the ones that would carry the water and transport their water. So yes, it would have been easy to see a man. But what's remarkable about the man is he was willing to go against what society called normal. He was willing to stand out in the midst of a bunch of people who are all doing the same thing. And if we're going to be who God has called us to be, it's not going to be because we blend in with society. It's going to be because we stand out in society. It's going to be because there's a willingness inside of us that says, you know what? I'm going to look different. I'm going to act different. I'm going to walk different. And I'm going to talk different. My life is going to be an extension of the Spirit of God in my community. Can I remind you tonight, one of the greatest things you can do for the kingdom of God is simply represent the kingdom of God. People notice. People notice. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a place of business and all of a sudden they just look at me and go, you're a preacher. Then my mind starts racing. Oh, Lord. Hope I mind my P's and Q's. Which I do. And I said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. I could tell. I could tell you. People notice what's different about you. People notice. We've got to understand, we're not apostolic by chance. We're apostolic by choice. We didn't stumble our way into an altar. We didn't stumble our way in this church. We made a decision that this is truth and this is the way we're living. We ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's some people there, it's like they're embarrassed. Why? I've got this mindset. If you're embarrassed about God, then God's going to be embarrassed about you. If you're ashamed of God, then God's going to be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed to be a child of God. And then there's this mindset today that says we got to be relevant with the world. We got to be like them. No. No. You cannot lead them if you're like them. You cannot expect to walk their way and influence them. They're going to influence you. Brother Jamie, come see for a second. And I've probably used this analogy, but if I have, act like you've never seen it, okay? Brother Jamie, outside working in his sewer, and I walk up and my hands are sparkly white, clean. And he's got mud and everything else on his. And if I come and I shake his hand, hey, Brother Jamie, how you doing? My cleanliness did not change his filthiness. His filthiness changed my cleanliness. And there's people, thank you, Brother Jamie, there's people that think, oh, you know what? It's not affecting me. Oh, I can listen to this and I can do this and I can go over here and I can hang out with these people and it's not affecting me. You better reconsider that. Your purity is not changing their filthiness. Their filthiness is changing your purity. There's a parallel. If it happens like that in the physical, it happens in the spiritual. And what you put in here and what you put in here and all of that just starts muddying the water. There's got to be a something on the inside that says, God, I want to stand out with society. Let me tell you this much. While technology has brought us a whole lot of progression in the flesh, let me tell you what it's also done. It's also made it easier to sin. Do you realize that the Bible says that he's the prince of the power of the air? And media is all controlled by airwaves? And which tells me that it all has the thumbprint of someone or a being that doesn't want you living for God. All of the social media and internet, and I'm not preaching against it. Please don't think I'm preaching against it. I'm preaching against you using it wrongly. Which that can be for anything. That can be music. That can be what you set before your eyes. That could be where your feet go and what your hands touched. There are some things that are what they call amoral. They're not right or wrong. They're amoral, but they can be used either way. The internet can be used for good things, but it can also be used for bad things. There are some things with technology, that phone that you all have, and I have, it can be used for great things. But it can also be used for a whole lot of bad things. I'm just kind of walking right now because I feel a check in the Holy Ghost right now. Because if we're going to be who God's called us to be, then that means we have to detach. See, consecration and separation are Siamese twins. You cannot be consecrated to without being separated from. They go hand in hand. You can't separate yourself from the world without saying, okay, in turn, I'm going to consecrate to something else. What does the Bible say? When a spirit's cast out, that spirit's going to come back and visit. And if it's all swept up and clean, it's going to bring seven spirits with it. Seven times stronger than the first time. What is that saying? Okay, we're separated, but we haven't filled it and consecrated to something else. It's not about just being separate. It's about consecration. It's about saying, God, you know what? I'm not just going to come out of the world. I'm going to keep the world out of me. It's one thing to come out. It's another thing to let the world stay out. That's why the Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. One of the saddest phrases in the Bible is when Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Could you imagine Demas, who got to hear the Apostle Paul preach, who saw miracles, who was a part of the early church? God did a great work in his life. He came out of the world, but he didn't keep the world out of his heart. He separated, but he never consecrated. And we've got people on church pews that they've come out of the world, but they have yet to consecrate themselves wholly to Christ and keep the bondage and the things of the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't need people who are willing to stand out on Sunday and Wednesday. We need people willing to stand out on Tuesday and Friday and Saturday. When they see you out there, they ought to know that's a child of God. It ain't about a Wallace Ridge church. It's about the kingdom of God. The way I act, the way I look, the way I talk. Let me just throw this out there just for parents, because I love young people, and we've got great young people. But it wouldn't hurt any parent in here if your child has a device of any kind to do unsolicited and unexpected cell phone and tablet checks and look that thing over. Their social media, anything that they've got. My mama used to tell me, son, as long as you live in my house, you don't have privacy. And now that I have kids, as long as they live in my house, they don't have privacy, because I'd rather them, their souls make it to heaven. Amen. At the end of the day, talent and ability will not get the job done. It doesn't take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men to do great things. Nobody is born great. Greatness is what is the result of what you do with your life. Greatness, there's a lot of people that's going to get crowns and stars in their crown at heaven that nobody will ever know who they were except God. There's people in this room right now that you will literally, and you have affected tens and hundreds and thousands just by your prayers, and nobody will ever know. There's people here that you do things on your own for the kingdom of God that nobody knows about, but that doesn't mean you're not a part of revival. Everybody is a part of revival. Everybody is part of revival. David Livingston, as you stand with me right now, David Livingston was a missionary to Africa. One day he got a letter from the missionary society that he was associated with. And he said, Mr. Livingston, have you found any good roads that lead to where you are? If so, please let us know. We have men that want to come join you. Mr. Livingston wrote back and said, sir, if all you have are men willing to come, if there are good roads, I don't want them. He said, I want men who are willing to come if there's no roads at all. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want people that just want to show up on Sunday and Wednesday and take the good roads and get the spotlight. That's not what God's interested in. God's interested in people that may go unmentioned on this earth, but they'll never go unnoticed in his sight. Men and women, Sister Joyce, as you come, men and women that say, Lord, however you want to use me. I've told you about the men and the ladies that the only reason I'm here tonight is because some 45, 50 years ago, people would go knock on my mom's house when she was just a little girl. They lived in a small little building. It was nothing. It had felt paper on the walls, and it was nothing. But people went on Saturday, every Saturday, and nobody saw them, and they knock on her door. And my mama would take that bus to church the next morning. You know that? Those are heroes in the kingdom of God. They'll never get noticed and they'll never get recognized. But Wallace Ridge, there's a chance I wouldn't even be here tonight if it weren't for those people. There's people in this building that you're here tonight because people that never got public recognition reached out to you, reached out to your family, prayed for you. Grandparents, moms and dads that nobody will ever know about. They were unmentioned. But they're not unnoticed in the kingdom of God. And I challenge this church tonight. Find a role and fill it. Find something that you can do. Maybe it's when we get our church directory and they're almost completed. But if all you can do is call out the names of people in this church in prayer, just going through that directory, calling out names, you know what? You're effective doing that. You're effective doing that. Maybe all you can do is hand out a CD. One CD may fall into someone's CD player and God convicts them and they come to an altar. It's about finding something that you can do for the kingdom of God and then do it to the best of your ability. I believe it'd be fitting this evening, heads bowed and eyes closed right now, as the Lord just begins to talk to your heart. Lord, you see this great host of people. Lord, these are your people. They're not mine. I take no ownership, though I do take responsibility. They're bought with your blood, Jesus. They're your children. And I firmly believe that every single one of them here tonight has a desire within them to do something for the kingdom of God. Maybe it's just witness on the job. Maybe it's praying for people. Maybe it's passing out a CD. Whatever it is, Lord, they can do something. They can do something. I want you to use them, Lord. Use them however they make themselves available. Put them in contact with people. Let us get that harvest on our mind. I'm opening these altars. I think it'd be good this evening as a sign of faith if we could and come and stand around the front of this altar area saying, Lord, if you can use anybody, I want you to use me tonight. Come on, when you get down here, just lift your hands toward heaven as a sign of surrender. Lord, however you want to use me, I make myself available. I don't need recognition, God. I just want you to use me however you can use me. As Sister Joyce begins to sing, let the Lord deal with your heart. There's going to be some consecration happen this evening. There's going to be some consecration happen this evening.
You can use me.
Oh, Jesus.
Anything, Lord.
You can
use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
That's it, men. Make yourself available to the Lord. Lord, however you want to use me, open up the door. God, I want to be effective for the kingdom of God. I want to be effective in the school. I want to be effective on the job.